news and issues from a superior.
Kathy Cargill of the Cargill family of the cities has bought at least 20 plots in the neighborhood.
Kathy Cargill, who told the Wall Street Journal over the weekend that Duluth is a, quote, small-minded community.
A member of the billionaire Cargill family told the publication that she's upset.
By now, nearly everyone in the Twin Ports, if not the rest of the country, knows the name Kathy Cargill.
I sent a letter to Ms. Cargill back in February and just invited her or her representatives to come and visit.
But how well do they really know her?
I went to school with her.
She was a very nice person in school.
We explore her connection to her hometown of Ashland. Plus, what does Bob Dylan have to do with Superior's Hammond Avenue?
Both Bob Dylan and John Hammond have that shared history on Highway 61.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fair.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We'll learn more about Bob Dylan's multiple connections to Superior later in the show, but first, a special report on one of the biggest stories in the region that's gone viral nationwide. By now, nearly everyone knows the name Kathy Cargill, a member of the billionaire Twin Cities agribusiness family whose purchase of multiple properties on Duluth Park Point created a stir when she didn't reveal to neighbors or the mayor exactly what she planned to do with them. What you may not have heard is her ties to communities in northwest Wisconsin and how those connections may inform her actions, which may be very different than what the public perceives. The controversy began in December when Duluth News Tribune reporter Jimmy Lovrian first reported on her purchase of houses in the quaint Sandbar neighborhood jutting out into Lake Superior. She told Lovrian little about her plans, using the word crap to describe some houses. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert followed up, asking her to meet with him, as he explains in this Facebook video.
So like many in Duluth, I am also concerned about all of the Cargill purchases on Park Point. You know, we now know that over 20 homes have been purchased. The one across the street torn down. Others are being torn down. And I think we're all just wondering, you know, what is the plan? So I just wanted to share with Duluth and others outside our community who are passionate about Park Point, passionate about Lake Superior and the water access, a couple things. First of all, I sent a letter to Ms. Cargill back in February and just invited her or her representatives to come and visit with me about the intentions of the property purchases on Park Point, and also encourage them to meet with the Park Point Community Club. You know, I live down here on Park Point kind of for a minute and am still a member of the Park Point Community Club. It's one of our most active, and it's a great place to engage in this important community conversation.
That was Duluth Mayor Roger Reinert speaking on March 12th. Cargill did not meet with Reinert, but did respond, speaking to a Wall Street Journal reporter later in the month. Of the 20 properties she had acquired through her business, North Shore LS LLC, she was rehabbing one as a residence, but tearing down many others. She told the Journal her plans had included bringing amenities to the community, including a coffee shop and a pickleball court. But the mayor, she said, and I quote, peed into his Cheerios, close quote, by which she meant his calls to meet with her had discouraged her from proceeding with development plans that she had in mind for the community. And while she said she would keep her properties in the area, those community development plans were now off the table. The reactions to both news stories was swift and strong. Hundreds of social media posts suggested her real plans were to transform the tight-knit and quaint Park Point community into a gated enclave for her uber-rich Cargill relatives. There were also attacks on the Cargill company for alleged human rights violations in its multinational operations. Some social media posters defended Cargill's right to do what she wished with the property she bought, but many condemned and even ridiculed her, calling her an example of someone born into wealth and privilege and displaying a shameless sense of entitlement. So who is Kathy Cargill? Well, she's the wife of the Cargill heir, James Cargill II. His residence is often listed as Birchwood, Wisconsin, and the couple also have homes in the Twin Cities metro area, Colorado, and now Duluth. Both have been married before, Kathy two times. Before their marriage, Kathy worked for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources as a ranger and trail manager of the Tuscobia Trail not far from Birchwood, according to department records and newsletters published in the early 20-teens. She and her previous husband, who also worked for the DNR, divorced in 2010. Due to his work, the couple lived in various towns in northwest Wisconsin, including in Phillips, where records show she was licensed as a real estate salesperson in 2004 before joining the DNR. Her roots, though, are in Ashland, where she was a member of the class of 1976 at Ashland High, along with a classmate who would become her first husband. Back then, her name was Kathy Popsahalla, daughter of the owner of the local tow truck company, which almost everyone was familiar with. This week I visited Ashland, and it didn't take long to find people who knew and remembered her and know her still.
I went to school with her.
She was a very nice person in school.
At the Ashland Family Restaurant, that's really its name as well as its description, I didn't have to bring up her name, either as Kathy Cargill or Kathy Popsahalla.
Yeah, I've seen her once in a while.
You guys know her or knew her?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I knew her pretty well. Very nice lady. Never had an issue with her.
She's done a lot of good. She did a lot of good for people here in town. You know, built houses for people and gave it to them. People that never would have had anything.
Are you serious about that?
I'm serious.
Having brunch with his pals Gib Compton and Tony Schatz is Dan Renario, who gives specifics on the Ashland house he says Kathy built.
She built the house for, tore the old one down. It was a piece of crap. And it was really bad. Holes in the roof and everything. And then she tore that all down, and then she built them a new house and gave it to us. 11th Street and...
The diners gave me the exact address and the name of Kathy's friend, and it appeared to check out. The house looked newly constructed and set on bare ground that hadn't been sodded yet. The owner wasn't home, and finding we had a common friend, I asked that person to call her to verify the story. But the response was no comment. I also visited the current Popsahalla Towing, run by Kathy's brother, Mark. Young people were operating the vehicles, and they led me to Mark in the office, lying nearly horizontal in an easy chair with his feet propped up, recovering from an injury. He shared the family history. There were two boys and two girls, though prefaced it by saying he and his other sister were involved in a legal dispute with Kathy, who he'd barely seen in years.
I haven't seen her for probably at least 35 years, I suppose.
Oh, wow.
I've seen her at my dad's funeral, and that was it.
I see. So, right.
Other than that, not much else to say. You know, I don't know her side of anything.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young growing up, because she's the third in the family, there's me, Mike, and Kathy, and then Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Carol's mother is the oldest.
So if it's 30 years, you would never met the Cargills or anything like that, right?
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No.
What was it like growing up around here?
We lived a simple life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm happy the way I grew up, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't play any sports or anything like that. Went to school and, you know, that was that. You don't miss what you don't have, I guess. And yeah. And when we lived east of town there, we heated with firewood.
Uh-huh.
Which that kind of everybody did back then, you know. We grew some good values as far as working with respect and working with neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one time we had a neighbor's well froze, and we had a portable welder at the time. Well, and that's take the portable welder over and zap the pipes. You know, there were a few other people that did small farming around us. The tractor broke down or a baler broke down. Everyone came over and got her. We went over and helped them, and you know, and then when it come to cutting firewood, the old buzz saw in the back of the tractor, he went over to the neighbor's house and cut wood, and he ate there. You know. So that's about the best of the memories I can remember.
Despite their estrangement, Mark Passahala can't completely ignore his sister's presence, and he has heard about the issues in Duluth. He agrees that some of her critics may be misportraying her background.
You know, she's from Ashland. It's a little bit different than the way she's being portrayed,
right,
like an old money Cargill born with a silver spoon.
Yeah. I heard rumors that she had put houses in town for people, and I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. And you know how the rumor mill can go.
Mm-hmm. There was one that supposedly she built her house.
He does confirm that the house the Breakfast Club told me about was indeed recently built, but he expresses little envy toward his billionaire sister and says he's thankful for what he has.
She's off doing what she's doing. That's her business, and I'm back here. I got hurt in November and shattered an elbow and broken a femur, and so I've been off since November. I have my son and his wife, and they both stepped up to the plate the night I got hurt, and they really came through, and I have a lot of friends. I didn't realize I had a lot of people that liked me when they found out I got hurt.
Uh-huh.
They were coming. I heat with wood at home. I got an outdoor boiler. I got a pellet stove, and I got a gas furnace. And my friends called my wife and made sure everything was good. Do you need anything? Then they got, my friends were coming over and filling my outdoor boiler in the morning and at noon and at night, and had people bring me gift certificates for pizzas for Hugo's. And so I my attitude towards people, the way I was brought up, is, I guess, reflected on a lot of people in this town.
It sounds like you don't need $1 billion.
You know, money's nice, but you know, when you're horizontal, that money ain't gonna do you a bit of good.
Back in Duluth, now former Park Point resident and retired union organizer Dan O'Neill has a different view of Kathy Cargill from those feeding the social media firestorm. It could be attributed to the fact that he sold her his Park Point house for $825,000, more than double what he thought he was going to get. But he says his impression mostly came from talking to her.
We had a nice conversation about what she wanted to do on my property. Some nice conversation about how she wanted to tie it into the environment and make it, you know, kind of blend into the environment, let's say that way. But it came down to a common conversation and a friendly conversation, like I could be talking to any other of my neighbors.
O'Neill also said that unlike those left speculating about Kathy's plans, he did hear from her what she had in mind for one of the houses. It was to be for her college student grandson, who, if she meant her blood relative rather than a stepchild, would hail from the Passahala line, again with roots in Ashland. O'Neill says he met the young man.
They came back with their grandson. I know of nobody that has had conversations with her. Not that I think I'm special, but it just so happened that the timing was there.
Hey, Duluth. You've probably seen this story about a Minnesota billionaire who said Duluth was a small-minded community and peed in its Cheerios when folks started asking some questions.
By no means has all the criticism of Kathy Cargill been mean-spirited. One lighthearted protest picked up on the Cheerios theme to call for the donation of the cereal to help feed those in need. Duluth's Chad McKenna conceived and heads up the effort, which has so far raised more than $50,000. He too turned to social media to explain it in a Facebook video.
Rather than continue to talk about this new Duluth property owner, let's show what a large-minded community can do when they come together. We're going to collect some Cheerios and give those to those in need.
If Duluthians are turning adversity into something positive, it's not the only community that Kathy Cargill may be looking at. Along with the homes she may have built for those in need in Ashland, which we cannot confirm, she has a second entity for the Wisconsin side of the lake that apparently complements her Duluth home buying concern. South Shore LS LLC is registered to the same Metro Twin Cities address as its counterpart through which she bought the Park Point properties, North Shore LS LLC. We reached out to two of Kathy Cargill's lawyers for comment by her or a representative for this story, and as of Thursday, had not received a response from either. So now that we know Kathy Cargill isn't who many, if not most people, think she is, what does it all mean? Here to help us analyze it is Craig Grau, retired professor of political science at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio, Craig.
Hi, Robin.
So you're not normally a fan, I take it, of the lifestyles of the rich and famous, but you couldn't ignore this case, and I understand you were disturbed by what you were seeing on social media.
Yes, I was. When people see just a piece of a person and then generalize on them, you're heading for trouble. I think when you oversimplify a human being, especially with a label that's a bad label, there are other, you know, stereotypes that people are familiar with, like dumb blonde and those sorts of things.
And you've posted yourself about the dangers of stereotyping. Some of your work includes research related to the tragic lynchings in Duluth of three black circus workers in 1920. This incident is in no way comparable, but you say it's still an example of groupthink by a wide swath of the community.
Yeah, you look back at that time, and you had one group of people who arrested the black, and there was more than three, they arrested more than that, because they were black, and rapists are black. I mean, of course they aren't, but that's the stereotype. And then on the other hand, the people who think that was an awful thing that happened, which was, they refer to them as victims. But what were they like? We only know something about really one of the three. We don't even know anything about the other two. They're human beings. Taking it from today, I'll tell you the truth. I can't quite grasp that this is the same week, this week and last week, where people are tripping over themselves to buy lottery tickets so they can become billionaires. And yet the way it was used on these postings, it was like a slur, like, she's black, or, she's a racist, or they didn't say that, but that's the same way they said that awful word, billionaire.
So aside from the stereotypic things people have posted about Kathy Cargill and billionaires in general, you say some of the things they wrote were just plain wrong. I want to read one exchange of commenters on Facebook. There was a suggestion that if she really wanted to stick it to the mayor, she could turn the land back to Native Americans. So someone followed that by asking, I think they were sincere about this, if the Cargill family was indigenous, to which the original poster responded, and on this one I quote, "not even remotely." So that's probably true of the Cargill blood relatives, but you discovered something interesting about Kathy's family.
Yeah, her mother, Judith, was her last name was Salawater, and there are Native Salawaters, Native Americans, that are connected with the Bad River Ojibwa. Kathy's maternal grandfather, his brother married a tribal member, Lucille Messenger, and there's a number of people from that wing of the family that are her cousins that are associated with the Bad River Ojibwa.
And you heard that firsthand, I understand, from a tribal elder. So again, as the posting said, while the blood relatives of the Cargill family may not be remotely indigenous, the term very aptly applies to some of Kathy's relatives in Ashland. We're speaking to Craig Grau. He's a retired professor of political science at the University of Minnesota Duluth. We're talking about the reaction to Kathy Cargill in the area and the fallout following her purchases of homes on Park Point. So even if she isn't from the privileged class, does she bear some of the blame for the negative reaction because of her crass language, like calling houses crap and saying the mayor peed in his Cheerios?
Yeah, she could have chosen her words better than that. But we all make mistakes. I have chosen bad words in my lifetime too, and no one said to me, "We're going to run you out of town."
Well, as you say that, I recall that one of the people who I interviewed in Ashland also used the word crap to describe one of the houses there. Lastly, since she actually is from Ashland, which has the same lake as Park Point and even its own sandbar with Shawamigan Point, would that make her a local?
Well, both she and her parents are Ordockers, I mean, from Ashland High School. And you can't get more local than that, I don't think.
All right. We've been speaking with Craig Grau, retired political science professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Thank you for joining us, Craig.
Thanks, Robin.
Coming up, the superior connection of Bob Dylan and his record producer.
Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done.